my sins forgot. There is a grave I try to hide. Oh, this precious blood that gave me life. In 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he's right. Every sin falls. So I come to tell you that he saves. Shout it out, proclaim, he's coming back for you. There is a blood, sights the blind. Oh, it heals the sick and the lonely find. It has the power to free the bound. Oh, his chains have fallen upon the ground.
So what I want to do is take you on a journey through one disciple's life of thinking he's the Messiah and then coming to a place where he knows he's the Messiah. And so the first 2 points, they're just kind of like building to get us to the third point, all right? So before we get to Matthew 26 and even the first point, though, let me show you in Luke chapter 5, when this disciple, Simon Peter, meets Jesus toward the beginning of his meeting with Jesus, all right? Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 6 say, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, that's Simon Peter, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now I want you to remember they'd fished all night and caught nothing. All right, remember that. All night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Okay, so this is in the beginning, and we know later Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter and Andrew and James and John leave their nets, and they leave their occupation, they leave their old life behind, they begin following Jesus. This then leads Peter to my first point. It happened 3 years after following Jesus, and I call it, here's number one, the declaration. The declaration. And I think all of us have made the declaration to follow Jesus. But I want you to notice how Peter does it. So I hope you're in Matthew chapter 26. Look at verses 31 through 35. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written. In other words, the Bible even says so. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Now, I kind of feel like that Jesus wanted to say, which part of all did you not understand? But he goes on to explain to him how, yes, even you, Peter, will stumble. And he tells him specifically how he'll stumble. And we, many of us, are familiar with this passage. Verse 34, Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, that's how long your commitment's going to last. This night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Now, this is not a message to put Peter down. It's not a message to make fun of Peter. It is actually a message to relate to Peter. Because I think all of us can relate to Peter. We're not in here like self-righteous people saying, oh, look at Peter, he denied Jesus. No! We've all denied him. We've all declared, I won't stumble ever again, and I'll even tell you which area I won't stumble in, and then that's the area we stumble in. Is that true? Is it true? Okay, so that's number one, is the declaration, which leads to number two, the denial. The denial, and it's on down in Matthew 26. Look at verses 69 through 74. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. And then he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he'd gone out to the gateway, look at that, there was a gateway church back then. I'm joking. Okay. Another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied it with an oath. Now, look at me just for a moment. I don't think this is what he did, but just to give us example of an oath, this is an oath. When you put one hand on the Bible and raise one hand in the air and you say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, I don't think he did that, but he did something that was an oath. He denied with an oath. So that's a greater level of denial. I do not know the man. Verse 73. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear. This isn't the oath type of swearing. This is the bad kind of swearing that you get spankings for, okay? He began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Now, please relate to this. Watch how sad this is. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Can you imagine how bad Peter felt? Then he said to Jesus, I'll never deny you. You're going to deny me three times. No, Lord, even if I have to die with you, you're going to do it before the rooster crows. And while he's denying him the third time, a rooster crows. And it may be worse than what you even think it is. Because let me show you some other scripture about this denial. Luke 22, verses 60 and 61. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Now watch verse 61 carefully. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And what you have to understand is this was a courtyard. It was probably about 30 yards by 30 yards, about 100 feet by 100 feet, somewhere in that vicinity. Not a large courtyard. If you've ever been to Israel and seen some of the courtyards, and you realize they didn't have large courtyards back then. It shocks you, actually. So this is a small courtyard, and when Peter denies him and the rooster crows, the Lord, who's just a few yards away, turns and looks at him. How bad would you feel? But I think it's even worse than that. Because what some of us might not remember is that what was happening to Jesus at this time was he was being physically beaten. Let me read you a few verses to describe it to you. Mark 15, 17 through 19. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed. Now, he has the thorns on his head. And they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshiped him. Luke 22, 64, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who's the one who struck you?" And another verse in Mark says, and they plucked the beard out of his face. What you have to remember is that when he turned and looked at Peter, he looked at him with black eyes, with a bloody nose, with bruised lips, and with blood running down his cheek from the thorns in his scalp. Now, how bad would you feel? And remember, we're not putting Peter down. We're all relating to him. Some of you might say, well, I've never denied Jesus with my words. Okay, have you ever denied him with your works? Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. I know this is a very serious moment, but just think about it. We've done it. We made the declaration. I'll never deny you. We've done it. We've all done it. We've all messed up. We made a declaration. I'll never do it again, and then we've done it again, right? We're not here to put Peter down today. We're here because we can all relate. But what changed? Peter became one of the greatest voices in the New Testament. He's called a pillar in the church. So what changed? It's what I'm going to call number three, the decision. The decision happens after the resurrection. Not when he thinks that Jesus is the Messiah, the first time Jesus said, "Follow me," but when he knows he's the Messiah because he's now risen from the dead. But he's still discouraged. He's still upset because he's denied him. And he makes a statement that's absolutely phenomenal. I think it has more to do with what's going on in his heart than what we think. And then I want you to watch what Jesus does. Okay, so remember when Peter meets Jesus, he's fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, and they catch a whole bunch of fish. All right? So watch. John 21, we'll come back to Matthew 26 in a moment. John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going to go with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. If you kept reading, John then said to Peter, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And they were only about 100 yards offshore. Peter just jumps in and swims to shore. It's kind of cool when if you read the story, when he got there, Jesus already had fish on the fire. Another way to say that is he's already provided. He's prepared. But here's this thing. Why does Jesus do the same miracle? Why does he do the same miracle when he met Peter? I think the only reason he did it was to say to Peter, listen to me, it's okay. It's okay. You can start again, Peter. You can start over. I know that you've messed up. I know what you did. I saw you do it. I heard you say it. Listen to me, though. I died for your failures. Amen. And I rose again so you can start over every time you make a mistake. Why else would he do this? And then he goes into the famous passage where he asks Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? And some, again, see that in a negative content that he denied him three times, so he's asked him three times. I don't see it negative at all. It's positive. Because on the third time, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know all things, so you know that I love you. Here's why I think Jesus did. I think he was saying, oh, I know you love me. I just wanted you to know that you love me. You're the one that's having the doubts right now, Peter. You're the one that feels bad because you messed up. But you need to know something. The resurrection takes care of that. It takes care of your failures. And then he makes a statement to Peter. And for some reason, there are two words in this statement I have never seen in this light. He does the miracle of the fish in Luke 5, says, follow me. Peter leaves his nets and follows him. Then Peter falls, and he says, I'm going fishing. Can I tell you what I think he might have been saying? I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to the way it was before I started this journey, because I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I thought I was, but I'm not. I can't do it. So Jesus shows up and does the exact same miracle. Then he says to him, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, I know, but do you know? Do you know that you can still mess up and still love me? Do you know that, Peter? Because I know it. And then he makes a statement, and he puts two words in here that as I was studying for this message, I never seen it in this context. On down in John 21, verses 18 and 19, he's talking to Peter now, and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself. You got dressed yourself, and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And by the way, that was crucifixion. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, look at those two words. Follow me. follow me. Peter, I need you to make a recommitment to follow me. By the way, here's what he says in John 21. And he says, Peter, you're going to follow me all the way to the cross. Now, Peter had heard that before many times, and you've read it many times in the Gospels because Jesus said it more than once. But here's just one of them. Matthew 16:24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So he's always told them, if you're going to follow me, it's to the cross. What's the difference, though? Well, the difference is that Peter knew that the cross meant death, but he didn't know until this moment that it meant life after death. So Peter starts following him in Luke 5, but in John 21, he makes the commitment to follow him again, and that commitment makes the difference because we know he became a great leader in the church. What's the difference? Well, back in Matthew 26, after he says, I'll never deny you, and right before he denies you, that before he denies him, they come and take Jesus away. And there's this verse again, never seen in this context. Matthew 26, verse 58, look at this. But Peter followed him at a distance. Followed him at a distance. Okay, I've got a very serious question for you. Actually, two. Let me do it this way. One would be, are you following Jesus? See, yeah. But the second one is this. Are you following him at a distance? How closely are you following him? Are you following him all the way to the cross? Because Jesus shows up in John 21 and he says to him, Peter, you want to follow me? Let me tell you where it's going to end for you. You're going to follow me all the way to the cross. And we know by history that Peter was crucified, but we also know that he was crucified upside down because when they told him they were going to crucify him, he said, please crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to die in the manner my Lord died. Here's a man whose life has totally changed from denying Jesus to preaching Jesus to the whole world. You just look immediately. You know, when you've got John 21 and then Acts chapter 1. And Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit comes. And I'm just going to show you just a few. But in Acts 2, they said, these men are drunk. It's Peter that stands up and says, these are not drunk as you suppose. But this is what was prophesied in Joel, that in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. It was Peter that said that. In Acts chapter 3, it's Peter that says to a lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In Acts chapter 4, when they had beaten him and told him not to preach, it's Peter that says, nor is there salvation in the other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in Acts chapter 5, it's Peter when it talks about that they brought the sick out and they laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. What made the difference? The resurrection made the difference. The resurrection made the difference. Our God conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's what made the difference. The difference was that in Luke chapter 5, Peter thought that he was God. But in John 21, he knew he was God. And when Jesus said, follow me to the cross, he said, yeah, I'll follow you to the cross because I know now that you live after the cross.
I'm going to ask you to do something today, and that is simply say amen when I say Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died on a cross for you, and that he rose again on Resurrection Day, which is what we celebrate at Easter. That's what I did in that motel room. I said, this is true. It's true. And God changed my life. And you're watching today, and it's not an accident. You're watching because Jesus Christ wants to change your life. So would you simply say, it's true, just in your heart, Lord, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Hey, I am so grateful that you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And Resurrection Day, or as we call it, Easter, will never have the same meaning to you, because today is the day that you agreed with God and said, this is true. Amen. And you received Jesus as your personal Lord and your Savior. So, happy Easter and happy Resurrection Day.
We know that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose from the dead. But what about after that? What about the times Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit? And what do those days mean for us as believers today? In his series, Passover to Pentecost, Pastor Robert walks us through the scriptures and tells us exciting details about the 50 days that changed the world. We'd love to send you this series on CD or as a digital download for your best gift today. And we'll include the Christ in the Passover resource guide, which shows you the 6 ways Passover points to Jesus and includes a guide and recipes for hosting your very own Passover Seder. Additionally, for your gift of $85 or more, we'll also include the Passover to Pentecost study guide and the Feasts, Festivals, and Fasts of the Bible book. And for your gift of $155 or more, we'll also send you the Holy Land Illustrated Bible, along with the From Galilee to Gethsemane DVD. The stories you've read in the Bible will come alive as Pastor Robert takes you on a tour of the Holy Land. We'll also include a beautiful communion set with 2 silver communion cups, grape juice, and wafers in a custom design box. Be sure to visit us at PastorRobert.com today to request these special resources and watch the current series again. We look forward to hearing from you. And as always, thank you for your generous support of Pastor Robert Morris Ministries.
You feel it. Inside you beats a heart for ministry. A sense that you're called to serve God in a greater way. But perhaps you feel stuck, not knowing how to get from where you are to that envisioned place. Let the King's University Online be the bridge to your calling. Under the stewardship of Gateway Church, TKU is equipping Christ-like servant leaders through the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what could happen if you took the first step.